from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. NASA's Kepler Space Telescope has been given more time to look for life-supporting planets outside our own solar system. The project, which has found more than 2,000 planets since it was launched in 2009, edged out several other space programs to secure more funding. Jeff Marcy is one of the world's most prolific planet hunters. He's an astronomer at UC Berkeley, works on the Kepler Project, and is the new chair of the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Project, or SETI. I asked Marcy for an update on the search for alien life.
What's really exciting about Kepler is that we have found hundreds of planets now that are the size of the Earth. Probably many of them are rocky with a hard surface that you could stand on. Water could puddle into lakes and oceans. That's exciting, but none of those Earth-sized planets are orbiting far enough from the star so that the water would be in liquid form. Most of the planets are so close that the water would be evaporated into steam.
They're just too hot.
They're just too hot. On the other hand, what's exciting is that many of the planets Kepler has already found are orbiting far enough from the star so that the temperature of the planet is indeed lukewarm. The problem is those planets that are lukewarm are too big. They would be big balls of gas, of hydrogen and helium, like Jupiter and Saturn are in our own solar system. So we haven't yet found the holy grail of a rocky planet roughly the size of the Earth that's also lukewarm so that the water on that planet would be in liquid form.
Now, I had heard that these star-like planets are also noisier than you expected. That might be one reason it's taking longer to confirm them. Can you explain that?
Kepler finds planets in this ridiculously simple way. We simply measure the brightnesses of stars minute after minute after minute. And of course, if a planet crosses in front of its star, it will block a little of the starlight, dimming the star. And that's what we detect, is that dimming. The problem is that planets the size of our Earth are so small that the star dims by only a tiny fractional amount. Any sort of noise in the star's brightness, flickering, will cause the star's brightness to vary. And it might vary enough that it masks the dimming of the star caused by a planet.
How does the work of SETI, which uses land-based radio receivers to identify alien sound signals, I guess is a good way to say it, dovetail with your Kepler work?
One might say the greatest scientific endeavor that we humans can engage in my opinion, is the search for intelligent technological life elsewhere in the universe. The problem is, where do you point your radio telescopes? Well, one thing that the Kepler Spaceborne Telescope is telling us is where the Earth-like planets actually are.
So you could take the promising findings of Kepler and train these SETI receivers toward that area.
It's exactly what we're doing, and there are several groups doing this, pointing their radio telescopes at the Earth-like planets that Kepler has already identified, hoping to pick up the faint radio or television transmissions from those advanced civilizations, which, to be sure, would have had to have sent them 100 or 1,000 years ago, and then those electromagnetic television waves are just now arriving here at our own Earth.
This conversation can't happen very quickly. You're talking about, what, a couple thousand years for one call and response kind of thing?
Sad truth is that the Kepler stars and their planets are typically about 1,000 light years away. So the stars we're observing now sent their light to us 1,000 years ago. If we wanted to send a message back to those planets that we're discovering, it would take 1,000 years for our message to get to them. So you really couldn't tell a joke and try to keep the timing good.
And why is it so important to find out if there's other life?
I think there's two answers to this question. One is, realistically, there may well be an enormous country club of galactic denizens who have been communicating, sharing their knowledge, indeed sharing knowledge about how they survived their era of technology in which they had weapons that could have destroyed themselves, in which they had technology that could threaten their global environments. And there's a second answer as to why to hunt for life elsewhere in the universe, and that's just because we humans are naturally curious. Ever since we climbed out of the ooze and indeed climbed down from the trees in the East African savanna 2 million years ago, we humans have benefited by our own curiosity that allowed us to think to ourselves, what's across the river? What's on the other side of the mountain? What's in that other continent? And I think it's quite likely that our curiosity could be our savior as a species.
Jeff Marcy is professor of astronomy at UC Berkeley. For KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick.
Support for Quest is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.